Good evening. If you'd open your Bible to the book of Zechariah that was just read a few moments ago. A couple of weeks ago, we had a lesson out of Zechariah, the first part of it, and just trying to grasp some bigger things of God. Tonight, we're going to look at some different things and what God's looking for and from you and from me. We're not as familiar with these Old Testament prophets. We need to get more familiar because back at this time, the nation of Israel, they had been taken captivity and they've been 70 years slaves in Babylon. And they were predicted after the 70 years, it was prophesied that they would come back to Jerusalem, and they did. They've been 15 years in Jerusalem, and not a one of them has lifted a finger to build the temple. And they had even got funding from an outside nation, from an ungodly nation, to help build the temple. They've done nothing. Oh, they've built their homes. But God wants to demonstrate that He wants to tabernacle with the people. And that's what that temple stood for. It was the heart and soul of their relationship to God. And they've not bothered. 15 years the people of God have sat there and done nothing. So in about 520, God sends Haggai. Haggai ends up preaching for 2 years. And after the 2 years of preaching, Zechariah comes on his heels. Haggai goes ahead and preaches 2 more years, 4 total. And he's preaching while Zechariah has picked up and he's doing his preaching. Once Zechariah gets finished preaching, do you know it took them 4 years to build the temple? It was done. And so there was great blessings coming out of it. But as we look at some verses tonight, and I'm going to kind of move you through it, I want to encourage you, you go home, you need to read it. But when you get to from chapter 9 of Zechariah through chapter 14 through the end of this thing, the majority of it is messianic. It's about the Messiah to come. And there's a whole lot of that, and we're going to be looking at just a little of it because I want you to see that God knows the future. Oh, if we could only grasp, He knows everything, what the future is, it would help us a whole lot in our walk with the Lord. Well, I want to begin tonight. I want you to look in chapter 7 of Zechariah. And I want to begin here because I want to see you, I want you to see what God, what He's looking at when He sees us. Look at verse 12. Zechariah speaking for God. He says, they made their hearts like flint, so they could not hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts had sent by His Spirit through the former prophets. Therefore, great wrath came from the Lord of hosts. Hearts like flint. You don't want to be there. They had hearts like flint. When your heart gets that hard, you don't listen very well. You don't hear very well. And you don't want to find yourself in that position because the Word of God, God will not allow any man or woman on the face of this earth to defy His Word. You can't ignore, you can't just, you know, well, here's the Word of God. We read it and we just kind of, yeah, just gloss over it. That's a heart like flint. And so God said, you know, through My Spirit, I talked through My former prophets. They taught you and everything. And you didn't listen. You didn't heed what was being said. You're going to get the wrath of God. Because God's not going to be treated by His people like He's going to do nothing and like what He says is nothing. Look at verse 13. And just as he called, and they would not listen, so they called and I would not listen, says the Lord of hosts. There's a great lesson. God speaks. You better take it to heart. You don't listen and take it to heart. When you pray, when you call on me, I will not listen. Well, there's a good relationship of understanding that this is what God wants. This is what God asks for. And if people aren't going to listen to the Word of God and take it to heart, you can chalk this one up. He's not going to hear your prayers. That's it. And that's what Zechariah is telling them. This is what the Lord wants. You don't respond, He won't respond. That's what you would call in a nutshell. Well, knowing that, come over to chapter 8 that was read a while ago. Look at chapter 8, verse 13. It will come about that just as you were a curse among the nations, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so I will save you that you may become a blessing. Do not fear. Let your hands be strong. That last statement, let your hands be strong, he's trying to implore them to get busy building this temple. You know, they're afraid that the neighboring nations again will attack them again. That's what all of this is about. And every time Zechariah is just telling them, wait a second. Let's don't worry about that. You let your hands be strong. Stop fearing what's around you. But what he ends up pointing back in verse 13, that back there you were a curse. You were a curse among the nations. 70 years you were in captivity. And don't think for a moment that God won't curse His people. Back to what we were reading a while ago in chapter 7. You won't listen. You won't take to heart the things of God. You just kind of want to, you know. Listen. It can turn into a curse quickly. But God wants them to know that He says, so I will save you, excuse me, that you may become a blessing. You know what God really wants to be? A blessing. He wants you to be blessed out of the relationship with Him. The reason God saves anybody is to have a blessing out of the relationship. And He's letting them know that you and I can become a blessing. They could become a blessing. That's what a relationship with God is about. That's why you and I are in Christ Jesus. We're in Christ Jesus for our blessing, not to be cursed. And see, God's looking for a proper response from the people. Look at verse 14. For thus says the Lord of hosts, just as I purposed to do harm to you when your fathers provoked me to wrath, says the Lord of hosts, and I have not relented. It's kind of interesting, he throws that in there at the end. You know, I've not relented. You know, your fathers, they were the ones that got you over into captivity. And when you're over there in captivity, I purposed it. It was from me. And by the way, I hadn't changed my mind. I've not relented one bit, but verse 15, So I again purposed in these days to do good to Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. Do not fear. I purpose there. And I'm not backed off. But I've also now purposed to do good to the house of Jerusalem. You know what this tells us? God purposes things in life. Everything's going to work according to the counsel of His will. And He purposes whether or not He's going to do good or whether or not He's going to curse a nation, an individual. It could even go to the church. You can look in the book of Revelation and you can see congregations. Some of them were in trouble. So anyway, He's letting them know, I purposed to be a blessing for you, verse 16. These are the things which you should do. Speak the truth to one another. Judge with truth and judgment. for peace in your gates. You want another insight about what God's looking for from you and I as His people? You better speak the truth. That's a major one we need to take to heart. Speak the truth to one another. Judge with truth. Judgment for peace. That's what He declares. That's what He's looking for. Verse 16. These are the things which you must do. Speak the truth to one another. Judge with truth and judgment for peace at your gates. Also, let none of you devise evil in your heart. Excuse me. Let none of you devise evil in your heart against another. And do not love perjury. For all these things are what I hate, declares the Lord. Well, you want to find out what God hates? You know why you better judge with truth? You know why you better speak truth? You know why you better be seeking peace? You better be doing those things. Now see, if a heart's like flint, these things aren't going to matter. But for you and I, He says, you better not be devising evil against any other. Don't you devise it. Don't you think about harming somebody. No, don't you do that. And above all, don't you commit perjury. Boy, would that go well in our nation today? I mean, no one takes anything serious. You know, you're going to make an oath. You're going to swear before God. You know, I'll swear before God. Doesn't matter to me. I'm going to lie. God hates perjury. He hates liars. All these things. So we're looking at what God looks for. And he's trying to show God's attitudes and God's desires. And he's showing it back here under Zechariah to say, hey, this is what I want. I want to bless you. I want to look for these good things for you. You and I need to pay attention to these things that are back here because we're getting to see the purity of God. And we're getting to see why they ended up in the tragedy that they did and why things happened in their lives. Well, if you'll come on over with me a little further to chapter 11. Look at chapter 11. Now we're going to kind of turn the tide just a little bit and we're going to start talking about the Messiah. And He's going to start prophesying. Look at chapter 11, verse 12. I said to them, if it is good in your sight, give me my wages. But if not, never mind. So they weighed out 30 shekels of silver as my wages. Now where have you heard that before? You and I have a great advantage. We're looking back because we have this whole thing recorded. They don't have a clue that he's talking way into the future. And so he begins to bring this up, and what's really neat here in verse 12, he's talking about his worth, God's worth, to the people. What am I worth to your people? Give me my wages. Give me what I'm worth. And guess what they weighed out? Well, you're worth 30 shekels of silver. You know, look at verse 13. Then the Lord said to me, Throw it to the potter, that magnificent prize for which I was valued by them. So I took the 30 shekels of silver and threw them to the potter in the house of the Lord. Oh, what am I worth? I'm worth 30 pieces. Zechariah, take the 30 pieces that the people say I'm worth, and I want you to throw it. I want you to throw it in my house. Now, we all know what this is. This is in 516 BC when he's recording these things in chapter 11. 516 BC. We're talking 549 years before this actually happens. And think about what God knows in the future. I mean, if you and I were to fast forward today, If we were to fast forward 500 years, by the way, what's going to be happening in 2515, 2516? This is 16, isn't it? Yeah. What would be happening? How's it going to affect you in 2516? Well, we don't even think that away. 500 years into the future? Yet here's God saying, you know what? Back here at the time of Zechariah, this is what you thought of me. And now we're going to fast forward this thing 549 years, and the same thing is going to happen to my son. Doing it to my son is going to be doing it to me. And so he's just bringing all this attention that you and I can read about and say, you know what? God's got control of this whole future, of everything there. Well, look at chapter 12. Look at chapter 12, verse 10. I will pour out on the house of David, on the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and of supplication, so that they will look on me whom they have pierced, and they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only son, and they will weep bitterly over him like the bitter weeping over a firstborn. They're going to be looking over the one who is pierced. We're talking about Jesus. You know what's interesting? Jesus quotes this in John 19. This is the quote that he makes. On the death of Jesus, there would be a lot of mourning, a lot of bitterness. Come on over, if you would, to chapter 13, verse 1. See, we're in the Messiah prophecy. Chapter 13, verse 1. In that day is referring to the Messiah. In that day, a fountain will be opened for the house of David and for the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for impurity. You know what God's looking for? He's looking 549 years into the future, and He knows what the people value Him. He knows what the people, with Judas valuing His Son. And God said all the way through, I want to bless you. I want you to be blessed in the relationship. And now there's going to be this day that's going to come for Jerusalem, and that it's going to be this fountain's going to be flowing out, and it's going to be for all, for sin to help and to cover, and for impurities. You see, I want to bless you. I want to bless the relationship. You have been cursed, and there's things I'm looking for. But I want to bless the house of David, the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Come down, if you would, verse 7 of chapter 13. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man, my associate, declares the Lord of hosts. Strike the shepherd, that the sheep may be scattered, and I will turn my hand against the little ones. Oh, the night of Jesus' betrayal, Matthew 26, 31, Jesus quotes this one too. The sheep are going to be scattered. And for Israel, oh, there's going to be some accountability. Now, I'm just bringing this through, and this is sometimes can be a little hard. I understand it can be hard to understand for you, for me, because we're not familiar with these Old Testament prophets. But I'm telling you, God's trying to speak His Word, and He's trying to get people ready, and He wants people to hear that, I want you to be blessed. I want you to know what's coming. And I tell you over and over, because you see, here you've got these Old Testament prophets. It started back there with Daniel. It went, you know, we talk about Jeremiah, talked about it. Haggai's come to you. You know, Zechariah's talking. All these prophets have been talking. And a lot of them been telling you what's going to come if you don't pay attention. And they didn't pay attention, and it happened. And now God's talking about the Messiah. And He's coming. And I want to bless you. And I want to bless Jerusalem. And I want you to know what's going to happen in the future. That there is a future for my people. But the future is going to depend on whether or not you're going to listen to the Word of the Lord, or you're not going to listen to the Word of the Lord. Come down to chapter 14. Look at verse 1 and 2. And this is what's happened now. We're fast-forwarding even here in the book of Zechariah. This is what's happening presently as Zechariah speaks. This is going on now. Behold, a day is coming for the Lord when the spoil taken from you will be divided among you. For I'll gather all the nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city will be captured, the houses plundered, the women ravished, and half of the city exiled, but the rest of the people will not be cut off from the city. Now, I made a comment that this is presently going on. They're building Jerusalem. They're building the city. They're building now. Zechariah's getting them to build the temple. This building is going on, and now God tells them, hey, there's a day coming from the Lord. You know what's going to happen again to Jerusalem? It's going to be destroyed again. Everything's going down again. And it's going to end up happening in AD 70. They don't know that. But here they are, heavy at work and building whatever they're building and trying to get this temple going. And by the way, it's going to come again, nations against the city, and they're going to ravish the women. Half the city's going to be exiled. People are going to be cut off. The rest of them are going to be cut off from the city. You know, this isn't good. What do we learn? People of God don't learn lessons very well. People of God don't listen very well. People of God don't pay attention to the Word of the Lord. We always talk about history repeats itself. So do the people of God. It repeats. Look at verse 3. Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as when He fights on a day of battle. Hey, these nations have destroyed Jerusalem now this next time. I'm going to take up action against the nations. Verse 4. In that day His feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which is in front of Jerusalem on the east. And on the Mount of Olives will be split in the middle from the east to the west by a very large valley, so that half of the mountain will be moved toward the north and the other half to the south. I mean, we're talking picture language. This is like the book of Revelation. It's picture language. The Mount of Olives going, you know, being split. It's, you know, like a volcano or something, like an earthquake. This thing's being split. It's going to come. There's going to be something that is bad going to happen. Continue on. Verse 5. You will flee by the valley of my mountains, for the valley of my mountains will reach to Azel. Yes. You will flee just as you fled before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. Then the Lord my God will come and all the holy ones with Him. There is a judgment coming. And notice what He referenced. Just as you fled before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah. Throw this at you. Amos 1:1. You know where the book of Amos starts? 2 years before the great earthquake before King Uzziah. That's where the book of Amos starts. 2 years before it. In the days of Uzziah in 586, no, it's 786 B.C., excuse me. In 786 B.C., 200 years earlier, there was a great earthquake. And it affected Israel. It affected the nation. And He said, you remember what happened back there? It's going to happen again. But this time, it's going to happen in Jerusalem. Now, it's a picture. It's a picture of judgment. And it's going to be a terrible, terrible day. And people are going to be fleeing all over the place. This is 516 B.C. when He says it. Again, it's not going to happen for another 549 years. God knows the future. God has it laid out. He knows what people are going to do. He knows what the people are going to practice. Look at verse 6. In that day there will be no light. The luminaries will dwindle. For it will be a unique day, which is known to the Lord, neither day nor night, but it will come about that at the evening time there will be light. The Lord knows this thing. Once again, we're learning about God. God's got everything under control. Everything is under His control. Verse 8. And in that day, living waters will flow out of Jerusalem, half of them toward the eastern sea and the other half toward the western sea. It will be summer. It will be in summer as well as in the winter. You know what? When He gets through with this next judgment, there's going to be water flowing east and west. There's going to be some help coming from the Lord. But it's going to be wrath first, verse 9. And the Lord will be king over all the earth. In that day the Lord will be the only one in His name, the only one. When God acts, the earth will understand and know who rules this whole thing. I appreciated Leroy's prayer tonight. God rules. God always rules. And He's telling His people way back here, it's going to happen. And no one's going to stop what's going to happen. I know the future. He always knows the future, and He knows what's going to happen in the future. And so He's using this extreme language to paint a picture before everyone's mind and say, look, here's where you're at. Here you haven't listened. Here's why you've gone into exile. Here's why I've brought you back. Why haven't you been working on My temple? Why haven't you been listening to My word? Here's what I expect out of truth, out of justice, out of you and your heart. And everything is headed here. And once you get all this built again, by the way, it's going down again because people don't listen. They stop responding. And so God says, it doesn't matter. Man does not control this world. I control this world. Man does not know the future. I know the future. And I'm telling you before it happens, I'm God. And I rule. And you need to listen to Me. And that's the message coming all the way through. Turn over to Acts chapter 3. I'm going to give you a quick application and we're going to close. Come over to Acts chapter 3. In Acts chapter 3, Peter begins to make things very clear because Zechariah's been talking about this day and time when we're picking up here in Acts. Jesus has died, He's resurrected, He's ascended to the heavens, and now the preaching has begun. Jerusalem is being warned. They were warned at the death of Jesus, and so Peter says, let's make sure we don't miss it. Look at chapter 3, verse 22. Moses said, the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like Me from your brethren. To him you shall give heed to everything He says to you. He's going back and quoting Moses. And who is Moses talking about? Who is he speaking about? Well, whoever he's talking about, you better listen. Verse 23. And it will be that every soul that does not heed that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. Oh. Peter is reaffirming what Zechariah was saying, what Moses was saying. You don't listen to what the prophet, this Jesus is. You don't listen to Him, you're going to be destroyed. You're going by the way. Let's look at 23 again. And it shall be that every soul that does not heed that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. And likewise, all the prophets who have spoken from Samuel and his successors onward also announced these days. You know what? All those prophets back there in that Old Testament, they're talking about this day that Peter is addressing everybody. We're talking about this, warning after warning, time after time, preaching after preaching, and people are not heeding truth nor the words of Jesus nor God. And now there's coming a day of reckoning. And you and I are reading the Scripture and we better be heeding too. Well, this was 549 years earlier, and Peter said, it's here. This is the day. Verse 25. It is you who are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with your father, saying to Abraham, and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. For you first, God raised up His servant and sent Him to bless you by turning every one of you from your wicked ways. Who? It was for you that God raised up Jesus to bless you. Does that sound like Zechariah? God wanted everything to bless you. You got to turn. Years after Peter speaks these words, Jerusalem comes down. And it was a horrific sight. When the Roman army marched on Jerusalem, they had no pity for little children, for older children, for the young and for the old. There was no pity. And Peter is appealing. You know, it's coming. You had better heed this last prophet. He's raised from the dead. You need to listen. We need to love justice. We need to love truth. We need to practice truth. We better not be devising evil. We better be moving forward. Because if not, people will be cursed. And I didn't design anybody, God says, to be cursed. I designed you for a blessing. And that's what God's looking for. So I want you and I to pay attention. I want you and I to heed the Word of God. I want you and I to listen carefully. Every time the Word of God is read, you need to be responding to it. Every time the Word of God is taught, you need to be responding to it. Or you won't be blessed in the relationship. And your prayer surely will not be heard. And God didn't want that. I want to try to help you. I know it was a difficult lesson. It's difficult for me to put together. But I'll tell you what. If we just take it to heart, we'll be fine. If we'll heed, just like Peter said for them to heed, we'll be fine. But if not, watch out. Because God rules.